Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
As the year draws to a close, we'd like to take a look at the world of food, specifically what's been trending this year and what we can expect to be hot, literally and figuratively, in 2018. Here to help us do that is Here and Now resident chef Kathy Guntz. Nice to see you as always, Kathy.
Hi, Lisa.
One of the things that you want to highlight, I know, are spices and spice blends. Now, given the fact that spices have been around for millennia, what are you seeing now that's different?
Suddenly, we're seeing really interesting new spices and spice blends. I talked to Lior Lev Sirkarts from La Boite, a spice company in New York City, and I asked him, if you had to pinpoint one spice that encapsulates 2017, what would it be? And he said, well, it's certainly been a year of global ethnic influences. The Middle East and Israel have been on everyone's radar. He was born on a kibbutz in northern Israel. So he is very familiar with two spices I have there. One is called baharat. It's a blend of allspice, cinnamon, and cloves, and it works incredibly well with savory foods like chicken and vegetables. So I took a butternut squash, and I roasted it, and I sprinkled it with baharat. And I guess the thing about spices and spice blends, and the reason I see them becoming very big in 2018, is that it's a single ingredient that can greatly alter your everyday cooking.
Easily.
Exactly. That's the point. If you bought one new spice or spice blend and used it in your everyday food, the same things you rely on, they're going to taste different. When you taste that butternut squash with the baharat, it suddenly is smoky and savory and a little bit sweet and evocative of a culture very far from my main kitchen.
But if it's a very different spice, and I think that's what you're getting at, because I know spices have been really kind of de rigueur for a while now, but you're really trying, like going deep into certain countries or regions and drawing out spices that might be new on the shelves in various spice shops. How do you know how to use it, though? I mean, if you want to use it more than once and not just have it wasting away on the shelf.
That's where experimenting comes in. I mean, no one told me to put it on butternut squash, but I thought squash is often slightly sweet. When you roast it, it kind of caramelizes. I thought this spice blend would work well with it. I would like to roast a chicken with this next. I would like to sprinkle it onto a winter green salad. You also have on the plate a spice blend that many people have now heard of called za'atar. It's sumac, wild oregano, and sesame seeds. Some people also add thyme to it. Incredible sprinkled on fish and grilled, or on meats, on steak, or your roast beef, or your salads. I think the truth is that these spices are not going to ruin any food. They're simply going to give it a depth of flavor that might not have been there before. And so I think more and more cooks are going to become interested in using these. And as I said, the key word here is experimenting.
There's something else that I'd like to ask you about. This is a product that has become increasingly popular, especially this year. And this is artisanal vinegars. First off, that term is used, maybe overused, but what does artisanal mean?
It means that it's vinegar that's made in small batches. It's often aged. In Italy, for those who have tasted balsamic vinegar, that's a long tradition of aging vinegar in wooden casks. Here in the United States, you're starting to see small batch vinegars. I have one in front of me from Carr's Cider House. This is cider vinegar. It's been aged. It smells of apples, it smells of autumn, and it smells of being distilled. It is a beautiful vinegar to use in sauces and salads. And what I did was I made for you a kind of braised chicken dish. In Lyon, France, chicken with vinegar is a traditional dish. This is my Americanized version. I took chicken pieces and browned them, and then I added half a cup of this really good cider vinegar, sauteed a red onion, lots of garlic cloves, and let it cook for about half an hour until it became very tender. And surprisingly, the vinegar is subtle. You might think,
that is surprising, because vinegar's not subtle.
No, it's not. But these artisanal ciders, vinegars, and different types of wine vinegars have a subtlety that you won't find in a regular supermarket vinegar.
Really? Oh.
And if you watch cooking shows, you will hear always chefs saying, it's good, but it needs acid. Acidity is a key element in really good food, and it's one that many American cooks, home cooks, overlook. So I think this might be the year we see more of this. There are several new books dedicated to the subject. Acid Trip, great title, Travels in the World of Vinegar by Michael Harlan Turkle is all about vinegar made around the world, how to make your own, and how to cook with it. I think you're going to be seeing vinegar on a lot of menus highlighted as a key ingredient, and I think we're going to start to understand the role acidity plays in cooking, the way that it makes flavors pop. A little bit of a good vinegar can make an ordinary dish taste really exceptional.
And I think it's kind of rediscovering this because you mentioned France, but I think my Italian ancestors also made vinegar chicken and used vinegar a lot.
It's all over the world.
Yeah. So I want to make a bit of a turn here and talk a little bit about something that's been going on in terms of the news and in popular culture, in government echelons, in the media, and that is allegations of bad behavior on the part of many people in the top ranks of their field, including the popular, very popular TV chef Mario Batali.
Anyone that's ever worked in a restaurant kitchen knows that the bro culture, and by that I mean the guys, which are prominently what you find in top-end restaurants, the bro culture is in trouble. Certainly, we've heard about Mario Batali. We're hearing more and more, and I am going to predict that in 2018, we are going to continue to hear about famous chefs, top chefs, who are not respectful and are running kitchens where there's all kinds of nasty stuff going on.
You're talking about men mostly?
I'm talking about men exclusively. And then what I think might happen, what I am hoping happens as this becomes exposed, is that 2018 will indeed be the year of the woman chef. I think it's going to get easier for women to get financial backing to open their own restaurants.
Because of this, you mean as an offshoot?
Very much so. This bro culture is so invasive. It is so much in trouble. I am very interested in 2018 in supporting restaurants that are run by women.
Is it hard for women to get funding? Is it hard for women to achieve the top rung in the restaurant?
Let me answer by asking you a question. How many of your favorite restaurants are run by women?
Mm-hmm. That sometimes you don't even know.
You don't know, but there's a reason for that. There are many really talented women chefs running kitchens across the country. But the big ones you hear about are the men over and over again. And they are the ones that have been abusing this power, and we're learning more about it. It's a sad moment everywhere.
You know, one of the other things just tied to the news again that it's interesting to remember is that when a country is at war, it's making news headlines a lot. Very often, for people outside the country, that's how we hear about a given country's cuisine. I think it happened with Afghanistan, which is happening now with Syria. And I know, even though we should say people are starving in Syria, you think that Syrian cuisine, we're going to be hearing a lot more about it next year.
If you Google the best Syrian food in restaurants in the United States, you'll see pop-up restaurants in New Jersey, New York City, Brooklyn, Anaheim, California, Orange County, California, Virginia. This did not exist several years ago. So one of the ways that we react to the news is by trying to find out about the culinary traditions. And immigrants are here, and often the only thing that they've brought are their recipes. When you leave a country quickly because your life is in danger, you don't take much with you, but you do always bring your culinary traditions. It's not an immigrant culture, but I think we'll be hearing a lot more about Puerto Rico and Puerto Rican cuisine after the catastrophe there.
All right. Thank you. One more question, Kathy Gunst. As we talk about food trends, I wonder if you can tell us if you see any other trend for 2018.
We've heard a lot about boxed food trends, you know, Blue Apron and all these different companies.
Delivery services.
Yes. Home delivery services are very hot. I have been talking to a lot of people who have said to me, you know, we did the boxed foods for a year, and what happened was we learned to cook. We started doing the same dishes over and over again, and then we canceled the box foods and we started cooking. So on the optimistic note I would like to end with, I think 2018 will see more people cooking on their own without the assistance of a box arriving in the mail.
Will you still cook for us, please?
I promise.
Thank you. Kathy Gunst will have her recipes for the squash and the vinegar chicken at hereandnow.org. Happy New Year, Kathy. Thank you.
Happy New Year. Thank you, Lisa.